brought to you this morning by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. I get the opportunity to spend a little bit of time talking city business with Vice Mayor Kane. Good morning, sir. How are you going?
Very well, Charlie. How are you this morning?
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Summertime is temperature-wise nearly upon us, and the calendar will agree in a couple of weeks.
That's right, but the weather's cooperated, as we discussed before we got on here to speak. It's been pretty nice.
It has been pretty nice.
Cool, and humidity seems to be dropping. So
looking
nice.
At lake levels, I got a report today. Just kind of the city sends it out on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. Lake Hudson sitting at about 100%. Tula,
right.
Lake levels are I forget, 90-some percent, so we're good water-wise, although I think ground moisture, I think we'd all like to have a little bit more rainfall in moderation.
It seems like this time of the year, everybody's always pining for a little more rain,
If we don't get it in the springtime, the chances of it decreasing as we go on.
Yeah, our rainfall, of course, it's an average annual rainfall, but it seems like about 80% of that falls in about 3 months.
I did see a TV report last night, though, that the more rain we get in May, the longer it seems to delay that first 100-degree day. So,
okay, I have not seen that report.
It's interesting. I had not put the data together, so we'll see how it works.
I'm going to take it at your word then.
Okay. Well, anyway, we're a lot of things going on last night, probably of primary importance. So we've had it on several times this morning, but I guess not totally a surprise, but an announcement of the city manager's retirement.
Yeah, Ed has decided that this is his time to retire, and it's certainly well deserved, but I don't know that I can say it's well received. We're really going to miss him, and he's been a fabulous leader for our community and our city for quite some time now. And when I first got on the council 4 years ago, I guess he was gracious and sharing information, and he was so proactive in making sure that I felt comfortable and knowledgeable, and took the time to talk with me about various issues in the city and where we stand and various aspects of city business. And so I certainly made my transition to the council easier, and I think I can speak for the other members of the council and every council that he's been city manager for.
Mm-hmm.
So he is just, we talk about him like he's leaving Bartlesville, which is fortunately not the case. We're sure happy to have him around, but we will miss his leadership from the city's perspective. And his wife Janie is also retiring, mm-hmm. or has retired, I guess. Her last day was last Friday. She had a retirement party up there in the community development department. And so we will miss her too. I know, talked with Lisa Beeman numerous times about the positive impact that Janie's had on that department, and between the two of them, I mean, they're just leaving us bare bones, it seems like.
I will not ignore a previous announcement of retirement. Police Chief Tom Holland also
certainly,
retiring.
Certainly.
So
same feelings about Tom. He's been such a mainstay and a staple for our law enforcement community and our city as a whole, and he won't be easily replaced either. And that's, in my estimation, some of those important jobs of the city council are to, of course, approve budgets, and then the hiring of the city manager and police chief and city attorney, I think, are paramount in responsibilities of a council. And
which are, of course, set out for the council in the city charter. So, I mean,
right, yeah. Exactly. And so I think that those are important responsibilities and responsibilities that none of us take lightly. And we're not looking forward to that process. You know, we really like to be had in place there, but understand that change always comes. And we're excited for their retirement opportunities, and excited and congratulate them for their years of hard work and well-deserved break.
There is a firm that has already been contracted for, I'll say, a search committee to find a replacement for Chief Holland.
Correct. And they'll be very helpful, along with, you know, opinions of local leaders too, that will have, you know, we've listened to numerous opinions on this particular hiring, which I am grateful for, because there are perspectives that I'm not aware of, and so we're happy for that. But we will definitely be leaning on this search firm to help us with this process, because they specialize in this kind of thing.
I think a lot of people would say there are some excellent candidates locally, but I can also see the council's point of view that if you don't know what else is out there, then you just don't know what else is out there. You know?
I think that's part of your due diligence. I think that just to accept, and if we may have the best candidates locally.
If we do the search, verified it.
I hope we do.
Yeah.
That's my sincere hope in any position that we fill. But I think it would be a mistake to ignore the possibility that some candidates, there may be a great candidate out there, and I think that's just part of the due diligence of and responsibility of a council to vet all options and make sure you're making the best decision for your community.
Okay, well, we'll see how that process moves along as you get reports and share that information publicly.
Yes.
Last night, several reports to the council and also, let's go to the budget next because a lot of things went on dollar-wise, whether it's simply to approve the budget, which sets the funding priorities for nearly everything else you council members will do.
Right, and you know it's always funny. We seem like, I remember the first council meeting I watched was about the budget, and that was before I was elected to the council.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't gone to the budget workshop. And I show up, and I can see the council packet, and there's it's 700 pages long or whatever. I'm thinking that's a lot of information to get through. This may be a long meeting, and there were hardly any questions, and everybody just kind of voted to approve it. And I thought, what is happening? How lasted like 5 minutes? Well, but I missed the workshop meeting before that, which lasted however many hours till 10 or 10:30 at night.
And
so that was what we had. So
some
last
of them,
meeting.
Some of them even passed. I think there were several 11 o'clock meetings.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that all we dove into that budget as a group in a workshop meeting, our previous meeting,
mm-hmm.
and we had received the budget some weeks before that, so we had time to thumb through it and read what's important. And then get the capital budget update from Micah Seemers and then the general fund budget from Mike Bailey. Not only general fund, but that's just the major part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got that official update and asked our questions there. And, we're blessed to have great staff at the city that take great care to formalize a responsible budget. And they're really good at listening to the opinions of the entire city staff and receiving their proposed and requested budgets and balancing all of that out. And so quite truthfully, there is not, it's good to look at, we learn a lot and it's important to do, but from my perspective, there are very little changes that I typically would want to make to that because it's not my day-to-day business. I don't understand how the public works department, let's say, works day to day, what exactly they need. And so my opinion is I don't feel that I'm necessarily qualified to tell, Keith Henry, you need less janitorial supplies. So I think that looking at it at a very high level is my approach to the budget process. And certainly with a fine tooth comb at that level, we just want to make sure our T's are crossed and our I's are dotted. But we're blessed with great staff members at the city that also feel that way.
Well, I know that the staff is open to questions when the council asks them, but there's also that trust relationship with Mr. Gordon or in his stead, Mr. Bailey, as an acting manager, does a lot of the preliminary question asking with those department heads.
You're exactly right, and most of that's fleshed out, and which is fantastic and a blessing not only for the council but for our community to have. To have folks that are that diligent in the budget process working on it is fantastic.
The council, number one, does, but is also required to hold that budget hearing prior to passing the budget. Typically, there's not a lot of comment or question, but again, that public opportunity is there.
And that's an important piece of it. And I think should we find ourselves in a position where we're having a poor budget process and money's not being spent responsibly, then you would have some public outcry, and we would deserve public outcry. But we've had a great council and during my time sitting on the council and great leadership in the staff. And so we don't have those problems, which I'm grateful for. It's still a long process and a lot to get through, but I can imagine how much longer it would be were we not having those advantages.
Well, and by the council passing it this early in June, it can easily be sent off to the state, probably is this morning, and gets that required governor's signature early.
Yep, got to get that all done. We don't want to be pressing that timeline. We want to be ready to rock and roll on July 1st and move into the next part of the year.
Okay. So. Again, we're talking with Vice Mayor Kane on a Community Connection on 1400 K1. We'll continue with more coming up in just a moment.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process. And which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
Continuing our time this morning with Vice Mayor Kane on a community connection on 1400 K1. Not that many days or weeks ago, it was Police Officers Memorial Day. But at the time, things were going well in the city. We have a need now to memorialize a particular officer coming up this weekend.
Yes, it is with heavy hearts that we do have to announce that Apollo, who's a canine officer, and his handler, it was Sergeant Troy Newell. But Apollo's passing was very recent. And I want to read a piece, if you'll indulge me,
sure,
a little bit,
please do.
Just because I think it's important that the public know this. But Apollo faithfully served the citizens of Bartlesville and his police officer handler, Sergeant Troy Newell. He became a loved Newell family member away from work. Apollo was one of the greatest ambassadors for the Bartlesville Police Department and was loved by the people in the community as well as the employees at the police department. Apollo was not only a valued working dog for the police service, but he was a mild-mannered and even-tempered when used at community events and public service assignments. With heavy hearts, the City of Bartlesville recognizes Canine Apollo's dedication and service to our community. Condolences to Sergeant Troy Newell and his family for their loss as well. The Bartlesville Police Department invites everyone to attend a memorial service to recognize and remember Canine Officer Apollo on Sunday, June 10th, beginning at 7 p.m. at the Bartlesville High School Stadium. The itinerary for the memorial service can be found on the City of Bartlesville and Bartlesville Police Department Facebook pages and in local media publications. I became, you know, familiar and acquainted with Sergeant Newell through Leadership Bartlesville program, which I hold dear to my heart. And on numerous occasions, he would bring Apollo out to participate in our local government day. And, you know, we'd have a participant from the class put on the big, you know, puffy suit and run, and then Apollo would come and chase him and tackle him down. It was amazing the amount of discipline that dog had. And he was a really, really neat dog, and more than that, a great officer for the City of Bartlesville. So unfortunately, these bridges we have to cross, and none of it's fun, but we hope that everybody that can make it out to that event comes and recognizes Apollo and supports the Newell family and our police department, because he was a great officer for us.
And again, for that family, because Apollo lived with that family, it's a loss for that family as well.
Exactly. I mean, everybody that's had a dog, you know, or a horse or any kind of companion animal can sympathize with the Newell family and the police department here. I mean, they're not just animals. They're the companion animals for a reason, and you build a bond with them, and none stronger than a bond between a handler and a canine officer. Yeah. Dog, I would imagine. So anyway, it's please come out to that event if you can.
Sure.
Again, that's Sunday, June 10th at 7 o'clock at Custer Stadium.
The street behind the stadium will be closed off in order to allow for some parking on visiting officers and their canine vehicles.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You mentioned putting on the puppy suit, and that image just comes to mind. I've seen that done at ball games, at other things, public events. And you have to admire the intestinal fortitude. I mean, you're in the suit, and the dog is not going to deliberately hurt you, but still to have that amount of attack force coming at you in work, in play, in whatever.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to see it.
And German Shepherds are big dogs. Yeah. We had, I mean, they actually bit through, and they didn't puncture the skin, but it was skin abrasions, I guess, on one of the participants through the suit. And it was an amazing display of discipline and power and focus by Apollo and by Sergeant Newell. So that's my personal account with both of those individuals. And I certainly offer them, the Newell family, my condolences and support.
Absolutely. A sewer project among the items approved last night, $1.1 million, if the number comes to me from memory accurately.
Right, and that'll be a two-part process. I'll spare the details of the sewer project, but I mean, they can be found in the council packet and
thing to talk about.
I think it is, but funnily enough, not everybody shares that opinion. But that'll be a much-needed project, and like I said, to be completed in two phases. The money for the second phase is in fiscal 18-19 budget, and so it's been approved and will move forward. It'll just be done that way.
One other. Of course, there's a meeting coming up for the Price Tower Green Committee.
That will be on the 14th, June 14th at 5 p.m. at the Bartlesville Community Center. The Tower Design Review Committee will meet, and it is a public input session for those wishing to convey any of their opinions to this particular committee on the design of the Tower Green. That is an important piece to this process, to have public input. And I would encourage also anybody interested in that to please come to that meeting at the community center at 5 o'clock on June 14th to give their opinions on the tower design, what you'd like to see, what you wouldn't like to see as it relates to the design.
And I think it's important to see what else is being talked about, because you may find out that you don't have anything to add once you find out what they already are talking about, or you may say, I don't like that at all.
Right. And it's very... These meetings are, I hope it's busy. I hope there's a lot of public input, but at the same time, I can sympathize with those on this committee receiving all that input, because it's difficult to wade through all that, because everybody's opinion matters and there's weight to it, and to try to find a middle ground and a compromise, it'll be likely impossible to do that and have everybody happy. But they say that a good deal is struck when nobody's happy. So I don't know if that applies to this. But that's what they say.
I hope everybody is eventually happy with the design,
of course.
Whatever comes out of it. I think it's going to be an interesting space to use, and some of the people that I've already talked about in the arts and entertainment business around the area have good hopes for it.
Exactly, and the Design Review Committee is we approved the members of that last meeting, and I think it's a very... The arts community is well represented there, as is the community as a whole. So I think we've got a wide spread of members as far as their influence, circles of influence, and how they're involved in our community. I think that all circles are well represented, I feel, on this committee, and it will only serve to expand that influence when the public input is taken into consideration. So please show up for that.
The city has done a lot of projects over the years with community development block grant, small city set aside programs.
Yeah, good job. Very impressed. I was from memory. You didn't even look at notes. Very good.
I've heard that acronym a long time.
A long time.
But Lisa came to the council last night with a proposal and talked about how the money could be used. It's a Johnstone Park project in that it's about the closest landmark, but really, I guess you can say it's part of the Park Pavilion project too.
And it is right there at the entrance of Johnstone Park. You'll undoubtedly, if you spend any time driving down Frank Phillips, you'll have seen that, or Tuxedo rather, excuse me, you'll have seen that pavilion, and it's a much needed facelift, I think, for Johnstone Park, which is a fantastic park. Some history about the CDBG, we've been engaging that since 97, so quite a few years there.
Which is, it's for specific uses among certain
census tracts. Yes, it's not just free and clear money to go use wherever you'd like to use. It's specifically for identified census tracts to kind of bolster communities in areas that might need some help. And so it's basically a state aid, and funds are matched from the state by the city. And since we've been using it, we've received just over $2 million in these grant funds and spent just under three. So we have more than matched the funds that we've gotten from this grant process. But we've had a lot of different projects come through the works here, and I think that, not surprisingly, we're seeing this funding decrease now. Our state is obviously in budget crisis mode, and so it's not surprising that these funds have decreased, but it's not the first time they have. And so we'll have about $135,000 once our matching funds are included to go towards a project. And I think it's wise to keep working on the Johnstone Park area and that pavilion to bolster that. And I think that, money, that's not a lot of money for projects. Let's say it's a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money for a project, I guess. Yeah. And so to have it support an already a project that's already been identified and had a lot of work done on it, I think will just it'll flush that out nicely instead of being a half-hearted attempt somewhere else.
Well, and it will be one more effort by the city to increase use of that space. It's already been used for a lot of public events, but again, one more reason for people to go and use that pavilion space and then work their way into Kitty Park and Johnstone Park all the way around.
Right, and they'll be, you know, we're talking about a sidewalk, some more sidewalk work, possibly irrigation system, and a playground, a smaller playground there. So just, you're right, another way to use that, which we're excited about.
Okay, well, again, I want to publicize a couple events you already talked about. Again, this Sunday evening, it's the service for Canine Apollo. Mm-hmm. And then just right past that again, it's the meeting at the community center for the Tower Green Project.
Yep. And do we have a couple minutes?
Yeah, I can take a couple minutes. That's great, yeah.
Well, I don't want to pinch you. I just want to go over a couple things. You know, okay. We voted to amend some ordinances last night. Mm-hmm. One was about mosquito spray and the fees associated with that. We've just found over the last 4, 5, 6 years that we're not properly recovering costs for that program. And like anything else, those costs are going up. And that average cost to the cost to an average resident of Bartlesville will be about $4 a year. It's 35 cents a month per water meter. So it's a fairly negligible cost for a very important service that the city provides, I feel. I mean, nobody wants mosquitoes flying around, but there's also disease transmittal, and I think it's an important service
were to contract with, there are several parties out there that do mosquito spraying at your yard for a price.
Sure.
The approximate 35 cent increase is a comparative bargain.
Sure. And I mean, then you just leave your yard and it's, and you got them again. So yeah. I think this is a nice community service that the city provides. I say the city provides, that we pay for as citizens, and the city, I guess.
Citizen-funded, city-provided.
Exactly, yeah. Well, so I think that's important. And the other one that, usually we have clear-cut votes all across the board, but we had one as it relates to court costs and technology fees for citations.
Right.
And
this is for the municipal court.
Correct. And we did end up passing an amendment to an ordinance of chapter 10 for the Bartlesville Municipal Code pertaining to court costs last night. It was a $15 court technology fee, and much like the law enforcement technology was way behind, and we addressed those needs in the bond issue, the court costs are following suit. And I think we all agreed that it needed to be passed and we needed to address those issues. It's just a matter of how it's funded. I ended up voting for that amendment because I feel that much like our water use and mosquito spray, I think that if the users of a particular service ought to bear the cost of that service, and since there are fundraising mechanisms in place for municipal court, I felt it was appropriate to use those and go ahead and tack on a $15 court technology cost for a traffic citation or any citation that sends you to municipal court. And that was my opinion on it. I feel that was appropriate and a standard and a precedent that we've set as a council in the past. And so that ended up happening. And it'll cost, we still don't recover all the costs there. We expect $40,000 to $45,000 in revenue for that a year. And all of our costs of maintaining the core technology, so hardware, software, and the upgrades associated with that, we've annualized and figure that's about what it'll cost us. Not all the way. The city will still participate in that from a budget measure, but that will help to offset it. So we did do that, and I just wanted to give my opinion on it.
Mm-hmm. And here. That was not a unanimous vote.
No, it was not. It was a 3-2 vote, actually. So yeah, those are, you kind of move on, I guess. And I think the calloused answer is, well, if you don't get a ticket, you don't pay the fee. And I say that a little tongue in cheek, but users of the system, I think, ought to bear those costs. And so that's why I supported that particular amendment. But I wanted to talk about that. And then we briefly received reports from David Wood at the BDA, and I'm just such a fan of what they've been able to do and the service that the citizens of that authority provide to the city is not without appreciation from my perspective. And we added a couple new ones. Kyle Hubbard will be on that authority, and so will Diane Adams. And so I'm excited to have them on there and grateful for their service to our community. And that's all I had on my agenda.
Charlie. Okay. Well, in that case, thank you so much. And we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you very much for having me.
Vice Mayor Kane with us this morning on 1400 K1.
Kubota Zel 2501 DT packs powerful performance into one easy-to-operate compact tractor. Designed for all-day operator comfort and easy use of implements, the L2501 DT makes mowing, digging, hauling, and lifting quick and simple. Now get payments as low as $129 a month with 0% APR financing for 84 months. Now through June 30th, 2018. See us or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
Visit Kubota Rowlands Outdoor Power or go Kubota.com.
AM 1400 K1, The Overcomers on the way next from Voice of the Martyrs, brought to you by Brian Little, Haley, and Kent, CPA.
Hi, I'm Todd Nettleton, and this is the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. Toward the end of last